Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Boy, I wish the chief was listening. I would love to thank the chief. What a guy. What a great friend. We're kind of transitioning this second hour. We have a fella coming on here. I'm really indebted to him. I had called him at the last minute. We have my other co-host on that I couldn't get on. I was freaking out. Couldn't get a hold of my co-host. We have sickness. For instance, we have Lee Cochran is sick. I think Jacob's been sick. My other Patrick, Matt, he's having trouble tonight. He couldn't come on. So we've been, I won't say patching things up because we've got some great, great people. We had to just switch things up. The guy who usually plays right guards having to play a little bit of middle linebacker, et cetera, et cetera. But the person we got coming on next, his name is Ike Baker. A lot of you people that if you were familiar with the League of the South, you are certainly – he is certainly no stranger to you. He is an officer, a hardcore, just staunch officer of Dr. Michael Hill. And if you know Dr. Michael Hill and you know that this fella is an officer of Dr. Michael Hill, I don't have to say any more because we all know what kind of a rock Dr. Michael Hill is. And also with Ike tonight, Patrick is going to stay on, one of our other co-hosts. We're getting him some yeoman's light work. Patrick saved the day the first hour when some kind of way I muted myself and Sam had to talk me through having to get us back on the air like Sam always does. He always knows what's going on. But anyway, I called Ike probably, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes before showtime and said, "Hey, Ike, I need some help here, buddy. Everybody's out. I need some backup." And Ike was right off the bat. He juggled his schedule around, and Ike's on with me and Patrick tonight. Ike, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for coming on, fella. I really am indebted to you for coming on tonight.
Hey, you're welcome, Eddie. I'm glad to be here. Even Eddie, and even Patrick. How are you gentlemen this evening?
Well, I'm doing great now. I had a few little panic spells there because my whole audio went down. I couldn't hear anything. I could hear Sam, but Sam couldn't hear me. In some kind of way, Sam figured out I muted this computer. And we were going real good, and Sam doesn't even know this. All of a sudden, the blue light started flashing on my computer saying battery low. And for some kind of a way, my cord came unplugged. I mean, it's just been that. Sometimes it's like that. Most of the time, things go smoothly. But like I said, we've got Patrick on the night. Patrick was saved the day. He came out and didn't miss a beat, man. That's why you need co-hosts on here. You never know what's going to happen. Somebody might come in here and shoot me. You never know. I'm sure I got some friends that would love to. But there's a lot of people. I have a lot more enemies than I have friends. I don't know why, because I'm such a lovable guy. Sam told me 100 times that he said I'm the nicest, most lovable guy he's ever seen in his whole life. He said he didn't know how anybody could not love the Bombardier. And I take that as mighty high praise from Sam.
I understand.
But anyway, Ike, was you able to hear any of the first hour?
Actually, I was tied up. That thing that I had to juggle around, I was not able to listen. We had kind of touched on what your topic was. What was the upshot?
Well, we had a fellow named Dan Schneider on. He was the first time he's ever been on Blood River. I knew very little about him. I was out sick about the past 10 days or 2 weeks.
Sure.
I haven't been this sick in years. So Matt Goodwin. I'm still kind of reeling a little bit, not quite myself. Matt booked Dan Schneider. I said for years I've been wanting to get a Klansman on, a head honcho of the Klan. We've had him on. He's an upstanding man, Pastor Thomas Robb, and Ike agrees with us. Ike agrees. He says that Pastor Thomas Robb is a great man. We had this guy named Dan Schneider, supposedly a Patrick probably knows more about me. Probably he's got a younger mind. I think he said they had resurrected the old defunct league of George Lincoln Rockwell's Nazi Party.
Okay.
And I'm so glad you're coming on, Ike, because you know infinitely more about that than I do, because Ike, if I've talked to Ike before the break, before he came on tonight, and he's kind of identifies himself with as a national socialist. And with that, Ike, take off, if you will. I'm going to say, sure. I want you to take off, talk about what you and I were talking about. And then when there's a pause or something, I want Patrick to come in because Patrick is a lot smarter than I am. I want him to come in and ask you some questions. Fire away.
Will do. George Lincoln Rockwell was a great man. It was before his time, but he was a man of his time. I had heard that the NSM was the evolution of the American Nazi Party, which was what Rockwell's organization was called. I don't know the truth of that. I've never been an NSM member. Yes, my orientation, my worldview would be National Socialist in nature. Now, I want to be clear. I think that those fellows in Europe in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, they did do some great things. And I admire them and particularly respect some of them highly. But I don't fetishize the Third Reich. I don't have a collection of German uniforms. I don't have a collection of German medals. Those things are all great. National Socialism as a form of government in a blood and soil nation, I think, is the highest form of government that our people could ever have. It takes nationalism first, socialism second, not socialism in the Bolshevik way. It's not capitalistic necessarily at all. The people own the people through the state, own the means of production, and it's all based on a German word. Nothing else really seems to fit. Volksgemeinschaft, which means people's community. In Germany in the 30s, there was an economic miracle under National Socialism. Our people here in the Southland, our white Christendom, we need that sort of thing. We need a radical, massive change from the status quo. The status quo is not working. Status quo in this country has been co-opted by the Jews. I think we all know that. Academia, media, the government. I agree with Pastor Rob, something he said a few weeks ago when we were on. I was on with him that night, you might recall. I don't like to say they control these things. That's a defeated term that discourages our people at a time when we don't need to be discouraged. But they've certainly got undue influence, very, very disproportionate to what 2% of the population should have. Media, academia, and government. We need all three forks of that trident back in our hands, would be my feeling. That's what animates me. That's the spark that drives me. I just want to serve my people and be a useful contributor to preserving our folk.
Yeah. Very well said. Very well said. I would like to put out I don't see how anyone could intellectually honest and fault you with that, because after all, Ike Baker, I've seen him. Ike Baker is a white man, God forbid. He's one of these toxic white males like I am and like Patrick is and like Sam is. And Ike actually loves his race more than he does other races, God forbid. I'm the same way. Patrick's the same way. Sam's the same way. We love our children more than we love the children from the Belgian Congo. You know, so with that, we're getting ready to go to a break in a minute, but Patrick, would you like to well, there's the break, folks. Well, when we come right back, I'm going to go back to Patrick and see if Patrick has any questions for Ike. Well, people, hang on to your seat. We have a winner on our hands tonight with Ike Baker and Patrick.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, people, we are right back to the second segment, to the second hour, and we have Ike Baker on. Man, what an eloquent guy. Wish I could speak like that. Before we go back to Ike, Patrick, do you have anything to say to Ike?
You know, regarding what you said before with, I have nothing against the socialist tendencies, especially if it's nationalist. But my fear is that nowadays, with immigration the way it is, and with us shipping in people from overseas, these H-1B visas, et cetera, we have a situation where a lot of these handouts are given to people who are not even our people. That's the big thin line. And number two, you know, we're giving this money to people who are not our people. And secondarily, middle America is being flooded with drugs as we speak. So the ability for those people to even work is being taken out from under them. So we have the opioid crisis, and then we have the money that blue-collar workers are making is going to people who either cross the border or people who come in overseas and stay here. And it's just being allowed to happen continually. So I worry that if we go in that direction, will our people even be benefiting from that? That's my fear.
That's an excellent point, Patrick, and I'll tell you how I address that. When I first started to speak about National Socialism, I may have left this out. I thought I would have said it. It's kind of part of my standard description. National Socialism will only work in a blood and soil nation. It will only work in a true nation, a nation meaning people made up of the same ethnic background. There's a high degree, a high level of mutual trust in a society like that. Now, we are not that. And to get to that point, I can't say I have the way. Any possible way we would get there is dirty, nasty, sloppy, very difficult to accomplish. But I won't ever allow myself to think it's impossible. A great man said you have to have that utopia of hope. And we do. We have to have that utopia of hope. Now, about the opioids and taking away the spirit of our people, brothers, I live in Appalachia, born and raised. I spent 30 years away from here, so I don't really have the mountain talk anymore, but I see firsthand what opioids do to our people. I come from what were some of the most resilient, industrious, hardy people that settled this continent, and there were quite a few who fit that description, but the Scots-Irish who came to the southern mountains, we've got a well-deserved reputation. But we're resting on that reputation because three things have cut the heart out of my people. The first thing is dispensationalism and Scofield lies. A lot of my blood kin really and truly believe that the people who killed Christ are the chosen people. And that's not so at all. We are the chosen people. We are Israel. The other thing is opioids. It's disgusting. I see some of the toughest, burliest, most manly men descended from coal miners. They're broken by opioids. This is deliberate. The Sackler family, this has come out in the past month or two, when they came up with OxyContin, they boasted that the prescriptions were going to be widespread, deep, and white. And it is. And the third thing that's broken my people is the ease of getting a government check, a handout. And I'm ashamed of that more than the other two, quite frankly, because relief is for people who can't do, not for people who won't do. And you go to the little small town post office near where I live, Sand Gap, Kentucky. People are lined up there when the post office opens on the first mail day of the month because they know what's waiting in their post office boxes. And that's just vile. I have to turn my eyes. I can't look at that. So that's what's cut the heart out of my people. And every folk in this country has a story like that. Pardon me. So, yeah, you're right. National socialism won't work if we're going to do for the other. I'll just call them the other. That's kind of all-encompassing. An example I've used for a long time, a fellow like me, or like any of the three of us, down in Louisiana, who desperately needs money. I would literally send that man $1,000 and never expect to see it again because he's one of my people. The other, and you can fill in the blanks because it encompasses all the rest of them, nothing. Not my kind, not my problem. Truly, if they can't feed them, don't breed them. But yet they do. So that national socialism won't work in a handout society, which is what we've become. So Patrick, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, how do we forge a blood and soil nation, specifically in the Southland? Y'all know I'm a League of the South man. We want a free and independent Southland. How do we make a blood and soil nation? We have members who feel like just cutting off handouts will cause the other to leave. We have others with more sanguinary ideas. What would you fellas' concepts be to make that blood and soil nation, which quite frankly I think is the only hope of our people for the future?
Very eloquently spoken, Ike. I would like to also like to chime in. We are from the pretty much the same kindred blood. You know, my dad was born. And I'm sure you've heard of Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky. I think you should have put one county over.
One county over from me. I'm in Jackson.
You know, in Jackson, Kentucky. I'll have to relate. The audience have probably heard this story before, but I'm kind of proud of it. So the audience will just bear with me. There's a plaque in Jackson, Kentucky, which is, I believe, the county seat of Bloody Breathitt. And it says Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky. And they went through like three chiefs of police in a 6-month period of time. I have a great aunt that shot and killed a dirty cop in the friggin' courthouse when court was in session. I have my people at the Battle of the Clay Hole election. I have a great uncle, I guess his great uncle, grand, whatever you call it. He's killed three in one gun battle, what they call the Battle of the Clay Hole election. There was nine men shot dead and 14 wounded. They took them all Hazard. That might have been the closest place then. I'm sure that Ike is familiar with Hazard. And they had the Undertaker on one side and the Doctor on the other side. It might be a little bit of stretch there, but that pretty much happened. And they also ran the National Guard out of there back about 1918, 1920. The Army's not too fond of that. But I'll just chime in before I go back to Patrick. You know, Patrick, and rightfully so, talked about the dismal situation of some of our people in, and Ike also told us about the dismal situation, the proudest people in the face of the earth up there, what's happened to them with drugs. Well, you know, when Hitler, when he came into power and we turned Germany around and made it and turned it into a miracle, some news guy was saying, you know, how on earth do you ever have the guts? How did you think you could ever even turn anything around? How do you think you could even prove the situation, let alone create the greatest miracle the people have seen in 100 years? And that's paraphrasing. And Hitler told the fella, he said, you know, I looked at the German people and I didn't see what they were. He said, I saw what they could be. And with that, I'm going back to my younger, smarter friend, Patrick. Patrick, what do you think about that fellow?
I think that's 100% correct. I think we should never count ourselves out. I think, potential and the heart that we have, and I think that the history of our people, we should never ever count ourselves out. So I definitely don't mean to be a black pill on that. It was a few concerns I had thought about before. I do think with the demographic crisis, I think, again, it's solvable. It's definitely solvable. Obviously, one way would be criminalizing these businesses who hire them. I think that would stop some of them from coming over. But it's really working with what we have when opportunity meets preparation. When we have the opportunity to step in, stem this tide, and take back our power, then we will. We will.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. By the way, that expression, the utopia of hope, Adolf Hitler said that.
Oh, no kidding. You go, son.
And we have to have that. We can never give up on the spirit of our people. We just can't do that. Plenty of our people do and have. Well, because of circumstances, you know, we're some of the leaders of this movement, this movement that we certainly hope becomes a groundswell in our people. So we have an obligation to never lose that utopia of hope. So, yeah, I do believe that our people will have a resurgence. I believe that wholeheartedly. I can't imagine the form it'll take. You know, we're a depraved culture. So was the Weimar Republic. And the Weimar Republic gave rise to the Third Reich. Now, what do we have to remove to cause that to happen? And I'm going to come back to this because I come back to this quite often. We have to remove the Jewish problem from all positions of power and influence in this culture, in this government, and in this society.
Mike, my brother, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but we've reached the halfway point of the hour. We've got to go to a break. Hold that thought, Ike. We're going to go right back to you as soon as we get through this commercial, my friend.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Taking the stage at CPAC today, President Donald Trump told the group of conservatives he's working to get better trade deals.
But we're renegotiating right now horrible trade deals that we're cracking down, and we are really doing the number, cracking down on countries that cheat and standing up for the American worker for the first time in many, many decades.
Trump telling the conservatives we have people in Congress that hate our country. At the same time, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders kicked off his Democratic presidential rally in Brooklyn.
We are going to transform this country and finally create an economy and a government which works for all of us, not just the 1%.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
National Rifle Association CEO Wayne LaPierre spoke at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland prior to the president taking the stage. During his speech, LaPierre had some harsh words for New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo hates the NRA. He hates the freedoms for which we stand.
LaPierre also told the crowd the NRA has grown to almost 5.5 million members, the most in their history. A tentative deal has been reached to end a public teachers' strike in Oakland, California. Oakland Education Association President Keith Brown says it's an important victory for students and teachers.
We have increases in student support, lower caseloads for special education teachers and counselors, more counselors, psychologists, support for newcomer students, and bonuses to help nurse recruitment.
The deal includes an 11% pay raise and a one-time 3% bonus. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, people, without further ado, I'm not going to speak any more than absolutely necessary. I'm going to go right back to Ike, our great guest tonight, and to finish up what he was saying before we went to the break. Go ahead, Ike.
Sure, will do. The point I'm really making is this. All these problems existed in Germany in the 20s and very early 30s until the NSDAP came to power. Now, these problems certainly exist organically in a people because depravity is a human condition, all right? But these people, they do everything they can as an organized element in a culture that they are feeding off of to foster this, to put up obstacles to getting the course corrected and getting back on track. So what changed when the NSDAP took power? These Jews were removed from positions of power, and the problems were solved. Okay, they didn't solve themselves, but without them organized, working against it in every way that they could, these problems were solved. These problems can be solved in this country. Last summer in Alabama at our conference, I enumerated all the things that they're at the heart of. The flood of brown immigration. Well, okay, the Immigration Act of 1965, the Hart-Celler Act. Anybody listening, trouble yourself to learn who Emanuel Seller was and where he was elected from. He had been pushing immigration from the Third World since the 1930s. Feminism, which just drives a wedge between our white men and our white women. That's another Jewish institution. Gun control, which is a misnomer. It's just everything aimed toward eventual gun confiscation. Look who's behind that. Every single initiative that the government has made since the 60s to restrict the Second Amendment has been authored, co-authored, or certainly supported by the Jews in Congress. The Jews in Congress who, as we discussed when Pastor Rob was on, are dual citizens. This is probably the one thing that if we'll focus our effort on like a laser beam, we have a chance to turn our culture around. But with these people in the positions of power that they are, and with the overrepresentation in media, academia, and government, we just can't make it happen because they work in concert. They are highly organized. They are highly tribal. I'll admit, I admire them for their tribalism. We need that.
Right on, right on. I've been wanting to read this quote all night. And, you know, Ike, you're so right. Before we can defeat our enemy, we have to name him. And you're also right. I mean, I know people are going to flinch, but it is the eternal Jew. I'd like to read you something, guys, before I go to Patrick. This quick quote by an Andrea Aworkin. She's one of these Jewish feminists. And here's what she had to say about men in our society in general. She said, we will have to destroy the structures of the culture as we know it. It's art, it's churches, it's laws, it's nuclear family based on rights of the father. And we'll have to destroy the nation state. Further, she says, I want to see a man beaten to a bloody pulp with a high heel shoved into his mouth like an apple in the mouth of a pig. Patrick, what do you say about that, young fellow?
Yeah, that's that. I think she's a second wave feminist or third wave. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, that is what we're being inundated with at universities now. It's funny you bring that up because I've met a lot of young women who have read her work and liked her. And it is despicable. It's a shame. And, again, as Ike was saying, we have this hate directed towards us, this destruction pointed at us. We're being inundated by it constantly, and it's so tough to fight against. But I really do think as things accelerate, we are seeing the waking up of our people. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a backlash, and I think that will give us that opportunity to step in when the time is right, and then we'll have the fury and righteousness behind us because we are right.
Agreed. Hey, gentlemen, I'll bring something up. A dear friend and I were discussing this just the other day. You know, we need these normies to wake up because we are a fairly small percentage of our people. I believe that percentage will grow, and I'm an accelerationist because at my age, I need this party to get started so I'm not an 85-year-old man drooling in my wheelchair when it all happens. You know, here's something that plays right into accelerationism. Trans, I hate to say trans women, that's their term. Males who decide to identify as females compete against actual women in athletics and beat them left and right. This is accelerationism pure and simple. This is going to turn these normies who won't respond to any of the things that we see as triggers to our way of thinking. Think of the suburban yuppie in Connecticut, certainly not one of us in any way, unless he moved there from here. He supported his very talented daughter all through years of training and athletics, and she's a track athlete looking for a scholarship, and she's racing against boys now because the popular culture won't say, no, this is not right. You're not a female. You're a male. You're just confused. You're mentally ill, and we're not going to allow you to get on the track and win these races. I saw two blacks on some girls' track team. I believe it was in Connecticut. They're proud that they're winning. they're males, and this is accelerationism pure and simple. This is something that'll wake people up. This will trigger normies in the ways that other things won't. And I don't know where y'all are at on accelerationism, but I'm in my late 50s and I'm all about the accelerationism. Let's get this going. Let's turn the heat up. Forget a degree at a time. Let's just turn the heat to high and see where it goes.
Well, Ike, one thing, you're just a kid, my son. I will be 72 April the 6th, but I'm still running marathons.
Well, you're a marathon runner. you're probably a better shape than me.
Like I've told Sam, I guess Sam will let me say this on the air. I mean, I was 65 when I first started running marathons, and I could run a marathon before Cat can lick his ass, if you can say. I hope you can say that. But I hope this isn't my last night on the radio.
I'm a weightlifter. But, I'm not a marathon runner. I'm a weightlifter.
I've got to start doing that because people say it preserves your bones. I got to read y'all one more quote. We're fighting Satan himself. I've got to read this one more quote, and I promise y'all, no more boring quotes. This came from a rabbi. Rabbi Harry, I didn't get his last name. They're all the same, though. Here's what he says. The communist soul is the soul of Judaism. When we look deeper into the nature of communism, we see that it's nothing else than Judaism. Since the Jews are the higher race and the highest culture in the world, Jews have a right to subordinate to themselves the rest of mankind and to be the masters over the whole earth. The Jews will come to subordinate to themselves all nations. Once again, Judaism is communism, is internationalism, is universal. It is the universal brotherhood of man, the emancipation of the workers class, in human society. It is with these spiritual weapons that we Jews will conquer the world and the human race, and the Aryans will have to be destroyed, and Marxism will triumph. And when he's saying that facetiously, the emancipation of the working class, you know, in internationalism, your international brotherhood, that's bunk. They're using those catchphrases as lies. That's in my opinion. And back to you, Patrick.
Well, yeah, I think that going on that, I also think that they use our Christianity against us. They use it to shame us to our knees. And we're getting to a point where people need to find their spine. And we need to take some of these on the chin and not let them back us into the corner and shame us into submission. Because I think shame is very powerful. And we're a Christian country, and they know that, and they 100% use that against us to push through all means of things we see today, communism, degeneracy, et cetera. Anyway, over to you, Ike.
Sure.
You know, Salem,
go ahead.
I'm going to make one quick comment, Bob. Go right. Patrick Ike made a salient point earlier. He mentioned the good old Scofield Bible. I heard my Sunday school teacher say that. Talked to his good old Scofield Bible. Well, his good old Scofield Bible ain't but about 100 years old. And with that, I'm not, Patrick knows more about that than I. Excuse me. I've been calling Patrick Dan all night and Dan Patrick. Ike, with that, I'm going to go right back to you because you brought, the reason I brought that up is you brought it up and you nailed it, my friend. The Scofield Bible was part of the downfall of Christianity as we know it. And with that, that comment, I'm going to go back to you, Ike.
The Scofield Bible is what cucked Christianity. For 1880 or 90 years, all of Christendom knew the Jews for what they were. Period. End of the story. I posted something on my social media the other day. I said, Christianity began when God said, let there be light. Judaism began when the Jews cried, give us Barabbas. Okay?
right, amen, brother.
You know, they were,
you're totally right.
These killers are the destroyers of everything and anything good and pure in the world. The Jews are basically a guy who moves into your house, redecorates it, uses all your stuff, eats all your food, tries to seduce your wife, and then complains that you've got an atmosphere of hate coming toward him, you know?
Absolutely. It's called, let's see, what do they call that? I'll think of the term in a few minutes. Poo-poo, we're going to to the final break before we go to our final episode. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. God, I hate to go to a break, but we got to.
It's okay.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no one.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, my day has been made. I'm just having too much fun. And before we go back to our guest, I promise you, folks, I will not read any more of these quotes. I just couldn't help it, though. This quote is by another esteemed one of our Jewish brothers. His name is Maury Samuel. He wrote a book called You Gentiles in 1924. Here's what that Mr. Samuel had to say. He was a Hungarian Jew lecturer, too. He says, we Jews are the destroyers, and we will remain the destroyers. Nothing you can do will meet our demands, and nothing you can do will meet our needs. We will forever destroy because we want a world of our own. One more quote from a Kurt Munster, who wrote a book called Der Nach Zion. Okay, that's about this book in English would be talking about how we're going to come to a Zionist country. He goes to say, Mr. Munster says, we have corrupted the blood of the races of Europe. Perhaps we have infected them. Today, everything is Judified. Our thinking is in everything living. Our spirit rules the world. We are the masters, for everything that has power today is the child of our spirit. One may hate us. One may drive us away. Our enemies may triumph over our physical weakness, but we are no longer to be gotten rid of. We have developed the peoples, conquered the races. We have devoured the people. We have devoured the people. We have conquered the races. We have defiled them. We have broken their spirits. We have made everything rotten, lazy, and corrupt with our stale culture. Our spirit can no longer be exterminated. Mr. Ike, what do you say about that?
We'll see about that.
Amen, brother.
You know, I saw something the other day, an hour or two before my Twitter account got nuked. Laura Ingraham apparently referenced something that's happened in recent history and put it on a parallel with, you know, their precious Holocaust. And the ADL was in high dudgeon over that nothing should ever be put on the same plane as the Holocaust. There's nothing in history that's ever been as significant. So this may very well have been the tweet that caused my page to get banned. I posted, let's talk about the Holodomor and the perpetrators of that. You people are not as special as you think you are. You know, these Jews, they have a concept called Tikkun Olam. Literally in their language, it means repair the world. They really, truly believe that they're a higher being. And this is not true. This is not true. We're the highest expression of man, period, across the board. But they're very self-satisfied. They're very smug. Their plans, their efforts, their long-term scheming, their long march through our institutions is bearing them fruit continually. And what is the one thing that cannot be criticized ever? Christianity can be mocked. It is mocked. Remember, piss Christ, okay? The crucifix in a jar of urine. But what can't be mocked? The Holocaust. Can't mock that. Can't even question it. Isn't it something like 80 countries, I may be wrong about that number, please correct me, where it's illegal to even question it. There's a video around. It's not hard to find. It's an Israeli politician, a woman, an absolutely physically hideous woman with a fish lips, and she says, whenever someone speaks against the Jews, we bring up the Holocaust. It's a trick. It's how we make them goyim feel guilt. Because that's what they do. They play on our guilt. Patrick, you mentioned that a few minutes ago, our altruistic nature, which as whites, we have that in abundance. They work that against us. There's our nature almost has to be overcome to defeat these people, because you'll hear folks say, oh, we can't lower ourselves to the level of our enemies. Nonsense. We had better get mad dog mean and lower ourselves to whatever level it takes to defeat this menace, or we will be gone.
Absolutely. Two little quotes before I go to Patrick. I'll paraphrase the satanic guy, Winston Churchill, when he was speaking about our brothers. He said, we must exceed the Hun in ferocity. We must exceed the Hun in his endurance and bravery in battle. And to go back to the Holocaust, I will quote a fellow or paraphrase a fellow before I go to Patrick. It's the Holocaust is that patented God, it is the God of the Holocaust. It's patented and marketed. It's the God that will have no other gods before it. Like you spoke with that, you cannot speak unkindly of the God of the Holocaust, or the God of the Holocaust will come down on you. He will rain fire from heaven. Patrick, over to you, fella. What do you say about that, fella?
Completely agree. I think it's they use it as a weapon, and they use it to silence us. Obviously, we know that. It's you know, we're really headed to this point where it's we're headed toward a godless, a technocratic, it's oligarchical, collectivist form, sort of communist. It's a sort of combination of all these things, and it's you know, they use this their narcissistic rage, as like I had said before. They direct this narcissism against us to shut us down at every turn. And as I had said before, I think that we need to find it within ourselves to not be shamed and not take it and stand there and accept anything they put against us and stand tall and stand proud. You get our pride back.
Agreed. You know, gentlemen, I just pulled something up that I knew I could put my hand on it. Here's the definition of Holocaust denial: the radical notion that the people who lied about human soap, human skin lampshades, shrunken heads, steam chambers, electric floors, roller coasters of death, anus gas pumps, and the pedal-driven brain-bashing machine are not telling the truth about death showers.
That is spoken so well. It certainly is. And before I forget again, I would like to come back and compliment my host. You know, Patrick's real new with us. And I would like to let people know Patrick has a lot of courage. I dare even mention his name almost because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But Patrick has a lot of courage coming on, speaking about, especially with the guests we've had on tonight. Patrick, I commend you, son. And of course, with Ike Baker, too. But Patrick's new. He's a young fellow. He has a lot to lose. And I really admire his courage for coming on. I have to respect him to no end. With that, I had a thought, if I could remember what it was. I guess what I'll just do, I'll throw this out to both of you guys. You've probably pretty well covered it. Being in the situation we are right now, and I'll say that the Constitution didn't fail us. We probably failed the Constitution, but in today's light, to kind of paraphrase what I think it was John Adams said or Benjamin Franklin said, we have given you a republic, lady. When the lady asked him what kind of government did the Continental Congress give us, he said, we've given you a representative republic if you can keep it. But in those days, you know, where we were 99% white, probably what, two Jews in the whole country, no Muslims, no Hindus, no nothing. We were all a homogenous society, the same way. And Ike rightfully said in Nazi Germany in the 30s, it was the same way. They had a homogenous society, a like people, a like religion, a like spirit. They had the same God. They had the same aspirations for their people. Patrick and Ike, what can we do to get back to that? Is this, besides maybe having a we'll probably have to have a massive revival, getting back to God. But with that, guys, Patrick, go first. What do we do?
I definitely think that we need to get close to God again, because this is it's our morals. It's our moral compass. And I think that without God, without that base, as Ike was talking about earlier with this transgender races and all this madness going on, how do you identify it if you have no morals? You know, and it doesn't seem that our people are able to get down and dirty the way that they are. This is our moral compass, and I think it leads us in the right direction. And it also gives us something to lean on in times of persecution to find that strength. I'll send that over to you, Ike.
I happen to agree with that, and I'm going to say that I think one of the first steps that we have to take is we have to find each other. We have to continue to reach out to our people. That's something that the league has been taking very, very seriously for the last year plus. We're not always looking to go out and confront with Antifa. We're going to towns where our people still dominate. We've been to several towns that are 90% plus white. We need to reach out to our people and carry a message of hope and the future and the preservation of our people to them, because I'm going to come back to this, that utopia of hope. I still believe in the spirit of our people. They will respond to that. And I think, yes, absolutely. We were founded as a Christian republic. By the way, where I think we went astray is when the people realized, and by that time the electorate had changed, when that electorate that came to us after the 1965 Immigration Act realized they could elect politicians who would vote to give money to the people. You know, our federal government is a massive relief effort, and it's going to all the wrong people. I'm sure somewhere in the deep sanctum sanctorum of the plotters against us, they really intend for us working class white people to just support the perpetual underclass by the sweat of our brow. So that's where we went astray. We've got to get back to the underpinnings of a strong Christian nation, an actual blood and soil nation, and I don't mean dispensationalist Christianity or evangelical Christianity. Christendom as it existed for almost 2,000 years.
Amen to that. Guys, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I couldn't have had a better guest than you two guys. In closing, you know, to sum up kind of what Ike said, Plato said that a democracy would last as long as the people realize that they could vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. Good night, people. Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you so much, Ike. God bless you, people. So what have you here blessed me tonight. Good night, people.